Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and for a follow-up Friday segment today, we want to follow up briefly on the top issue we've been talking about during the week, the coming trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other 9/11 suspects in civilian court in New York. And we will follow up on a couple of specific threads of this debate having to do with the alternative, trying KSM in a military tribunal. Attorney General Holder said the comparisons that critics have made are just plain wrong. He said a conviction is just as likely in civilian court. Also,
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will have no more of a platform to spew his hateful ideology in federal court than he would have had in a military commission.
And he also said,
we can protect classified material during trial. The Classified Information Procedures Act, or CIPA, establishes strict rules and procedures for the use of classified information at trial, and we have used it to protect classified information in a range of terrorism cases. In fact, the standards recently adopted by the Congress to govern the use of classified information in military commissions are based on, derived from, the very CIPA rules that we would use in federal court.
Fascinating. Attorney General Holder testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee this week. So what about the alternative scenario? What if he was tried in a military tribunal? With me now, Karen Greenberg, Executive Director of the Center for Law and Security at the NYU Law School. She's a supporter of the decision and is the author of the book, The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days. Karen, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, happy to be here.
And since you studied Gitmo for your book, is that where the military tribunals held to date have actually taken place?
Yes. On the other hand, I don't think we know where these new ones are going to take place when they happen.
You mean new military tribunals?
Yes.
Under the new law? Because there were two incarnations of these tribunals already, an original version crafted by the Bush administration, as you know, and a second version implemented after the Supreme Court and Congress knocked the first ones down. Can you give us some of that history? What was so controversial about the first version?
Well, the first version was basically declared by the Supreme Court not to really follow the rules of military commissions. They were set up in a way, first of all, they changed constantly. They had different numbers of judges. I can't remember, first they had seven, but then they had five, then they had three. They had weighed decisions different ways, and they were just in flux the entire time. There was also the question of habeas. Would these people in the military commissions be able to sue over, you know, the right to be detained? And essentially, you know, asking to be charged for the large body of detainees. So the entire premise of the military commissions has been under attack since the beginning of the Bush administration. And the most recent, the Boumediene decision in 2008, has basically said that these detainees have the right to habeas, which I think you know. But, you know, I think the issue that you're raising about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, et cetera, and whether or not what would happen if they were tried in military commissions now instead of in federal court is a somewhat difficult one to answer, but mm-hmm. I think there are some things we can say.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, and you and I have talked about this before, the symbolism of trying the perpetrators of 9/11 in federal court is something I think this administration cares about immensely. And the symbolism has to do with the fact that the federal courts can handle matters of terrorism, even of the highest violations of American sovereignty and of American citizens. And I think that they want to make the case that this doesn't have to be deferred to the Pentagon, that our courts can handle it. And I think that's the important point they want to make.
And I think that's the point that the Obama administration has been making over everything else, is the importance of that symbolism to the rest of the world. But on some of these specifics, on the two clips of Holder that we just played, one, KSM,
right,
he said, will have no more of a platform to spew his hateful ideology in federal court than he would have had in a military commission. True? 100% true? 80% true? Any way to know?
You know, I would say that he might have a little more of a platform, and I think that is not something that's going to harm us. I think that what's going to happen is that he will be exposed for the weakness of whatever platform he decides to take up. One of the things that attorneys on both sides often say about the First World Trade Center case and about the embassy bombings case is the importance of educating the public through what comes out in the testimony. And that has to do both with the facts, who al-Qaeda is, where its weaknesses are, et cetera, et cetera. But it also has to do with seeing these guys for who they are, that they are not the, they do not have superhuman powers, that there is a weakness inside the system
so
in a lot of ways.
Let him spew because you think we'll win the propaganda war. But he did spew in the previous hearing that he had in the military tribunal context down at Gitmo, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He still said plenty, indicting the American system and everything else.
Yes, and admitting to every, terrorist crime that he could come up with to admit to. And I think that, again, delegitimizes him in its own way.
Yes.
I think that would most likely happen.
Radical few out there may find some inspiration of it, and I guess that's what people are afraid of, but he did do it a lot, to Holder's point, in the military tribunal complex. The next point. Again, quoting Holder, we can protect classified material during trial. The Classified Information Procedures Act establishes strict rules and procedures for the use of classified info at trial, and we have used it. And the standards recently adopted to govern the use of classified information in the military commissions are based on derived from the civilian rules that we would use in federal court. So, again, no daylight?
No, I think here there is a difference, and I think it's been somewhat codified, or we understand that, for example, in the military commissions, there will be hearsay we'll be able to use. I'm not sure, how they're going to draw the lines about hearsay, but it will be, as we understand, able to be introduced. Also, not tortured information, but coerced information may be able to be introduced. And in classified information, I think what he's probably suggesting, and again, we can't know, is that he believes that the strength of this case is such that even given the high evidentiary bar, higher in an Article III federal court than in a military commission, they're going to be able to present enough evidence without having to succumb to any weaknesses that might come in a comparison.
Right.
So I think there is daylight there. I think he believes that the case is strong enough that it's not going to matter. And
So you support the Attorney General, but on these particular points that he was arguing before Congress that KSM wouldn't be able to spew as much. He wouldn't be able to spew any more in civilian court, or the classified information would be protected just as much. He's making this stuff up, according to you.
No, I don't think he's making it up. I think he's saying that given the way he understands the case to play out, he's trusting that the judge is going to be able to have a lot of control over the courtroom. He's trusting that the kind of classified information that we'll need to keep classified will be able to be kept classified. And I think that, and again, this comes back to the original point about the symbolism and the strength of the American courts. All of this can most likely happen in a court as we understand it without it having to be what was originally considered as a national security court, which would have been a hybrid of the two systems we're talking about. So, no, I don't think he's wrong on these points. I think he's showing his trust in the system, and it doesn't mean that there's not a difference between the systems.
Karen Greenberg, author of The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days, and from NYU Law School. And I want to raise two other related issues from an exchange during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing Wednesday between Holder and Senator Lindsey Graham. Graham is again comparing the history of civilian and military trials.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me a case in United States history where a enemy combatant caught on a battlefield was tried in civilian court?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I think that, the determination I've made.
We're making history here, Mr. Attorney General. I'll answer it for you. The answer is no.
Well, I think
the Ghilani case, he was indicted for the Cole bombing before 9/11, and I didn't object to going into federal court. But I'm telling you right now, we're making history, and we're making bad history. And let me tell you why. If bin Laden were caught tomorrow Would it be the position of this administration that he would be brought to justice?
He would certainly be brought to justice, absolutely.
Where would you try him?
Well, we'd go through our protocol, and we'd make the determination about where he should appropriately be tried.
So, Karen Greenberg, we have 2 minutes left. Do you have any more of an answer than the Attorney General did to that question of whether ever before anybody has been tried in civilian court after being caught on the battlefield? He was kind of dumbstruck for the moment there.
Yeah, because I think it confuses a lot of things. I mean, if you go way back into American history, you're going to find cases where the answer is essentially no. And I think what he wanted to do was to look up where there were gray areas, whether they were in the Civil War or elsewhere. But, you know, probably what he'd want to do is say, well, you know, when did we get the category of enemy combatant and how do you define it, things like that. So, but essentially, you know, we're trying people. We defined the battlefield as something very broad, or we allowed ourselves to. And that's another thing the Obama administration is doing. I mean, they're using the military commissions, let's say, for al-Nashiri, who is accused of bombing the USS Cole, which is a military target. And they're putting it in the military commissions for that reason and probably some other reasons as well that may have to do with evidence. But so far, this is what the distinction they're trying to draw looks like. And look, we could have done a hybrid court. What they're trying to say, I think, is we need a viable system for going forward. And President Obama said when he said he wanted to close Guantanamo and reform the system of detention, basically, we're going to come up with a long-term plan. A long-term plan has got to involve the federal courts.
And does Holder set the precedent by trying KSM in civilian court that if bin Laden himself is captured, he would need to be tried in civilian court? That was Graham's other question.
You know, it's possible. I mean, there's an argument for trying him here. Let me say one thing about the civilian court.
We have 20 seconds.
We can charge them for very broad things in civilian courts, and the charges are narrowed, not that it would matter in bin Laden's case, but they are narrowed within a military situation. But I think he might make the argument for bringing bin Laden to civilian court, and it would be probably a very strong argument.
Well, let's hope we have the chance to find out. Karen Greenberg, Executive Director of the Center on Law and Security at the NYU Law School and author of The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.
For her second appearance this week, as that concludes our follow-up Friday segment for this week on the coming KSM trial.